Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 243, the first three verses. In vision to his saints God spake, from out the people one I take. A mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1, 2, and 3 of 243. The scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there of the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 16 through 30. But first, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned John chapter 19, beginning with the 16th verse. Then delivered he him there unto them to be crucified. And they took therefore Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us pray together and beg the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Almighty, merciful, gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that only true God, who hast made all things for thy honor and for thy glory, and thou who also hast created us for one purpose, to live with joy, glorifying thee. And Lord, then we have left thee, and we are born totally depraved. We have no hunger, no thirst, no longing to glorify thee. It's all of self. Lord, we beg thee then, as we have gathered together in thy house, in freedom, without fear of persecution, without fear of being put in prison or put to death, to come to listen to what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. And Lord, as we have gathered in thy house to hear thy word, may it be so. May we have bowed our knees. May we have cried unto thee for a blessing before we came. And may we now also beg thee, Lord, that thou would gather with us. Lord, come with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. And thou art faithful to an unfaithful people. Thou art merciful to a sinful people. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt pour out water upon them that are thirsty, and even upon the dry ground. Oh, may it be so in thy house today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thou would pour out thy grace. Oh, that there may be that renewing grace in the hearts of dead sinners, that they may be made alive, that hearts of stone are taken away, and that they receive a heart of flesh, and they become thirsty for thee, for the living God, and that they become by thy grace, by that stripping and emptying and drawing to hunger and thirst for him, for that living water, for that precious Savior. Lord, thou knowest those who have come hungry and thirsty, longing for a little sip, a little refreshment. Oh, we beg thee then that thou in thy mercy, through the merits of thy dear Son, that thou would visit and give a little refreshment, a little encouragement. Oh, that thou would reveal thyself and draw sinners to look unto thee. Give that faith that comes to an end in everything in self, that only can find death, but seeks life in another. And wilt thou reveal thyself as thou hast said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that there may be that comfort that is only in thee. Lord, we beg thee then for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, come among us and give those blessings that no man can give us, that we cannot give each other, but that is only in thee. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Visit us, comfort us, renew, teach, lead, guide, and give those blessings that come out of those merits of him who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased, because of his righteousness, because of his sacrifice, because of his merits. Lord, wilt thou give then that we may be bowing before thee, that we may truly come before thee, knowing who we are, that we are sinful, unworthy, unworthy of any of thy blessings, that we come before thee in true confession and humility, But wilt thou also give it, Lord, that we may come before thee, that we may open our sinful lips unto thee, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. O, wilt thou give then that true prayer as the publican, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Lord, remember the whole congregation. O, we beg thee for those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. O, we beg thee and beseech thee, Lord, translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Have mercy upon them, Lord, and remember all those whom are recipients of thy grace, who have that beginning of life in their hearts and in their souls by thy free and sovereign grace. And yet they fear so much, they tremble. Is it the true work of God, or is it of all of self? Is it only historical faith, temporary faith, or is it that true saving faith? Is it the life that God plants in the hearts? Oh, may those questions be answered by thy word and by the comfort and testimony of thy Holy Spirit with their hearts. And Lord, wilt thou give also opening not only to preach of the law, but also of the gospel of him who said, I thirst. Oh, wilt thou give opening to lift him up among the people? And thou hast promised that when he is lifted up, that sinners would be drawn unto him. O, wilt thou then teach and lead and guide by thy word and by thy spirit? O, may thy people be in the spirit, as thy servant John said and testified on thy day, and that there may be that looking to thee, that waiting upon thee, and that thou would come, leaping and skipping upon the mountains and visit them, care for them, instruct them, reprove them, admonish them, but also comfort thy people. O, wilt thou lead us then in this day, on thy day, into the green pastures of thy precious word, and may there be also that leading to him who has that water, in him who is the well of water. O, give thirst, but also give that exercise of faith, that sinners, thirsty ones, that they may also be given to drink, and that they may taste of the wonders of thy grace, that their hearts may be broken for the first time or by renewal. Lord, do it for thy name's sake, for the comfort of thy dear people. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a parent, a brother, a sister, other family members, a friend. Lord, sanctify all these callings to our hearts, that we have no continuing city, but that we must be prepared to meet thee. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Lord, may we beg and ask thee, remember Mr. Jeff Veldesgraf as he continues with chemotherapy, blessed to his body, but especially bless thy word to his soul. May we acknowledge thee that thou hast helped through Mrs. Charmaine Van Meren. The surgery may have went well, and we may hear that the doctors believe that they have also taken away all that was cancerous. Lord, remember her, teacher of that greater disease, and lead her to him who is that great physician. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also Luke Hoflacken in the hospital. Care for him. Give the doctors wisdom. Remember him for soul and body, and remember his whole family. Remember all those who are sick, all with special cares and needs for the body and the mind. Lord, may it be that they may say, by thy grace, and by the application of the Holy Spirit, it was good for me to have been afflicted, that it taught me, it awakened me, it brought me to that right place, it brought me guilty and lost before thee. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. And we also may acknowledge thee, Lord, that thou hast gladdened the family among us in this past week with a healthy baby girl. Lord, remember Devin and Joanna and the whole family. Give them broken and thankful hearts. And may this little girl have been born to be born again. Help them as parents. Give also praying grandparents. And that this little girl be raised in the tender fear of the Lord. Remember us all as parents, Lord. Help us. Give wisdom. Give also especially above all, that we may be faithful to the promise that we have made unto thee, that we will raise them to the utmost of our power in the truths of thy word, and bless the means of grace to our children, to us, to the whole congregation, through the preaching, through all the different means, but also in our homes. Lord, remember those who are expecting children. Care for them, those who long to have children. Lord, remember them also. Remember all the single ones. Care for them in their loneliness. And Lord, teach us through all the consequences of sin, through thy word and all thy callings and all afflictions and all blessings, lead us to that one place that we may become seekers, seekers of thee, seeking of that kingdom to come, that we may seek the King of the kingdom, that we cannot live without him, that we need him, and that he would come among us and bless us with that grace that only is in him. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also our government. Oh, we beg thee that Bill C-9 may be cast out. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and we deserve nothing. We deserve that thou would leave us as we have forsaken thee and thy word. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. May thy word yet be able to be fully proclaimed in this nation, that sin may yet be proclaimed sin, and that it may be a means to convict sinners of their sin, and that they seek the Savior of sinners. Lord, have mercy on us. We beg thee then in this morning, gather with us. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Without thee we can do nothing. But also give the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen. And that thy word may enlighten dark minds. Teach of the truth of who we are, of who thou art, and of that only Savior. But also, Lord, that thy precious word may be proclaimed throughout the entire world, and that it may be blessed to the coming of thy kingdom among Jew and Gentiles. Lord, remember thy covenant people. Take away the veil from their eyes. Oh, may they see the Messiah has come, that the New Testament testifies of Jesus Christ, and that he is the Messiah. Lord, remember them for thy name's sake. Bless also all mission work, locally, in prisons, among the poor and needy, among children, among our neighbors, but Lord, also in faraway nations. And may we beg thee especially, bless thy word richly in Bolivia. Help the church workers, give them faithfulness, give that thy word may be their light and their guide. Help the office bearers, the elders, the deacons, all thy servants, Lord. And remember Pastor Marco, care for them, guide them, and that thy word may be richly blessed, that many Bolivians would be born again and become lost in self and seeking that only mediator, and may they hear of him and come to know him by thy grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we need the same thing here with us and our children, and so bless thy word. Take away all the obstacles. Take away all the hindrances. Cast out the evil one. And may we say at the end of this day, it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Pass us not by, Lord. Look upon us. Hear us. Answer us, we beg, for thy name's sake and because of him, of thy precious Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 184, the first five stanzas. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand, deep waters o'er me roll. 184, the first five stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the NRC book and publishing committee. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. congregation, we just sang from Psalter 184, stanzas 2. My constant calling wearies me. My throat is parched and dried. My eyes grow dim, while for my God still waiting I abide. We sang it, but did you sing it? Was it only on your lips, or did it come from your heart? Is that how you came to God's house this morning? Is that the condition of your soul? From Psalm 69, verse 3, that's what stanzas number 2 is from. Listen, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. So we hear of one who is praying, crying, sighing with an urgent, intense desire in prayer. And he's fainting. He has no more tears left. He's weary. What's the expression all about in his prayer? He's longing, he's waiting for God. Who wrote this psalm? Well, it's a psalm of David. Did he write this about himself, or did he write this of another? He wrote this about himself, taught by God's grace. This is David. This is an expression by God's grace out of his own soul, but also by the Spirit he prophesied of another. David also, by God's Holy Spirit, wrote about the Son of David, wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, that he would become thirsty, that he would long, that he would be waiting for his God, his Father. A thirst we read of in this verse, Psalm 69, verse 3. A thirst prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, but it's also a thirst of sinners by God's grace. And this morning, we will consider the fifth saying of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, which we can read in John 19, verse 28. And I will only read the phrase, I thirst. So John 19, verse 28, I thirst. And so the theme is, I thirst. We will consider, as we said, from Psalm 69, 2 points. Two different persons. First, we will consider in the context the Savior's thirst on the cross. He said, I thirst. What does it mean? What was he expressing? What's the beauty in it? What's the water for thirsty souls? For that Jesus Christ himself came to that place as a substitute, as the good shepherd for his sheep. I thirst. May the Lord bless it, and that there may be water, refreshing water by the Spirit through that Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit for thirsty souls. So the Savior's thirst on the cross, and the second is the sinner's thirst by grace. Are you a sheep? Those sheep are distinguished by a thirst, a new thirst, a distinct thirst. What is it? So, with the Lord's help, I thirst. The Savior's thirst on the cross, and the sinner's thirst by grace. So the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross said, I thirst. He's speaking. He's dying. So to speak, we could say he's on his deathbed. And when someone's on their deathbed, we want to listen to every word. Every word, because every word would be the last. So this morning, in the context of John 19, verse 28, and with the words, I thirst, we are at the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ is dying. We can say we are at his deathbed. Every word from the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, is it not? But especially the words that he speaks on the cross as that substitute, as that dying Savior for sinners. Because his word is comfort. His word is instruction, but especially his word is comfort. And Jesus says, I thirst. And on a human level, we can have a little knowledge, just a little, of what it is to be thirsty. It's to miss something. Children, when you've been playing on a very hot day and you're thirsty, you long to have a little drink. You miss water. You want to quench your thirst. But here we read of a much deeper thirst. It's a tormenting thirst. Jesus Christ said, I thirst. He's under torment. He's suffering. He's suffering deeply in his body because he's the substitute. He has a body and a soul. He came to stand in the place of sinners, of those who have a body and of a soul. So it's been 24 hours, probably, that the last time he drank. He suffered immensely as a worm and no man in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. His back was torn open. He lost blood. He lost fluid. His body suffered immensely, which no man can understand. And finally he arrived at Golgotha, fatigued, exhausted, thirsting deeply in his body. And then he was nailed to the cross. And for the first 3 hours, there he hung naked under the hot sun. Yes, the physical sun, naked. And he became so deeply thirsty. And then there was the 3 hours of darkness, of darkness. And in those dark hours of darkness, he didn't only suffer in his body, he also suffered immensely in his soul. In his soul. He suffered physically. He was thirsty. He came in that place to thirst, to become made under the wrath of God, and he became so thirsty. Open your Bible to what the poet in Psalm 22 describes that. Psalm 22, verse 15, of his physical thirst. Psalm 22, verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. This is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross with an immense physical thirst. But he didn't only suffer physically. He wasn't only thirsty physically. He wasn't only expressing his bodily needs with I thirst. No, it's much deeper. It goes to his very being. It goes into his very soul. He said, I thirst. He's expressing not only physical thirst, but he's expressing so much more. What is he thirsting for? What is he expressing? Because we know it's not only physical thirst, because when they were going to give him something to drink, then he also took a little, but he didn't want any more. So what was he thirsting for? Well, at the end of 3 hours, what do we read? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? What do we read in Matthew 27, verse 46? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he's thirsting in his soul. He's missing the favor of his Father. So I thirst is a deep physical thirst, but it's also a thirst expressing of his deep need in his soul. Congregation, let's pause for a moment. Look to that cross. Hear him say, I thirst. Hear what he had to suffer because of sin. On the cross, you see what sin is in a deeper way. Because sin caused that pure Lamb of God to suffer so immensely in body and in soul. And his soul thirst was so deep, he cried out, I thirst. The pure Lamb of God, who knew no sin, was made sin. He felt forsaken by his dear Father in heaven, who was ever his delight in his sweet communion he ever lived. And the first time now he's missing the experience of that sweet communion with his Father. All the sins of his entire church was laid upon him. And Church of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, your sins also was laid upon him. Your sins caused him to become so thirsty, to suffer so immensely in his physical being, but even more, even in his spiritual being. Your sin was laid upon him, Church of God. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ summed up in the Apostles' Creed? Listen, remember, I believe in Jesus Christ. And then we read, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. No, he didn't literally go into hell. That's a summary of his deep, immense suffering in soul and in body. And he said, I thirst. The Lord Jesus Christ, that pure Lamb of God who knew no sin, who didn't ever sin once in his thoughts, words, or deed, he was willing to be made sin, and he became thirsty. He was willing to suffer immensely. He suffered hellish agonies that no man, no human being can understand or even express. His suffering is beyond any human understanding. And by the Spirit, we get a little glimpse. We get a little view. And when we see with an eye of faith of that suffering Savior, and also who said, I thirst, and that I deserve to eternally thirst because of my sin, completely eternally separated from God, no communion, but also suffering in body. Sin deserves eternal wrath. Sin deserves eternal condemnation. Eternal separation from God. Now we know this. But do you know it? Has it come home? Has it come home by the power of the Holy Spirit? I deserve to eternally be sent out, to eternally under wrath, and to eternally thirst like that rich man in the story of Lazarus. And the rich man, he begged for one drop of water, but it was denied. Denied. Have you come to confess, as that one criminal on the cross, we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss? Have you seen it by the power of the Holy Spirit that you deserve to eternally thirst because of your sin? And has it become precious to hear, to see by that eye of faith, I thirst for you, that you would never eternally thirst. I took it all upon myself. Jesus Christ on the cross is that Lamb of God. He's that substitute. He was willing to suffer, willing to do the will of his Father. He was willing to give his life for the sheep so that they would not eternally thirst, eternally separated from his Father. He willingly suffered physically, but he also willingly suffered torments in his soul. What must it have been for that precious Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Proverbs 8, was ever with his Father his delight to experience separation from his dear beloved Father that he loved so deeply and that his Father loved him. He thirsts for experience, the longing to experience again the love of his Father, that he would again feel the favor of his Father. But what did he not express? What did he not express with saying, I thirst? We do not hear one word of rebellion. We do not hear one word of complaint. We hear no begging for mercy. He humbly, willingly acknowledged that he deserved this. Why? Because he knew he was made sin. He acknowledged willingly to go that way, to go that way of salvation for lost sheep. He said, I thirst. Why did he do this? Why did he so willingly do this? Why was he so willing to become so thirsty in body and soul? Why? For his sheep. For his dear sheep that his father gave him. For those wretched sinners. For those poor sinners that have nothing and need everything, that long to come in communion with God, but of themselves can never. So that sinners would never say eternally, I thirst, but that they may drink from that water of free and sovereign grace eternally, from that living water ever, from him. Congregation, Church of God, you belong to be there. I belong to be there on that cross, beaten, wounded, afflicted, cursed to death, suffering, thirsting. But he went that place for his dear sheep. But there's also something very interesting that we read in John 19, verse 28. With all that's been said about expressing with his thirst, of his thirst in his body and of his soul, he did not speak this in the first place for himself. He did not speak this in the first place for himself. Why did he say, I thirst? Let's read John 19, verse 28 again. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Spirit might be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So why did he say, I thirst? What's so amazing? Well, children, if you're thirsty, I think the first thing you would say, please, Mom, Dad, can I have a drink of water? Can I have something to quench my thirst? But the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in this text, in the order of it, that he does not first ask something for himself. No, he thinks of himself as the head of the covenant of grace, as the mediator for his people. He thinks about fulfilling the will of his Father. During all his torments and all his suffering, he's fully aware that he is the Lamb of God, that he's the substitute, that he's the surety, and that he needs to accomplish the work the Father has laid upon him for all his people, for all those wretched sinners who by his grace will begin to thirst for him and for God. Reverently speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the Old Testament. He knows all those prophecies. And then, reverently speaking, he's thinking, are they all fulfilled? And then he thinks of one more. I say that very reverently. And therefore he says, I thirst, because there's another one that has to be fulfilled. It spoke about it, that he would fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies. What does that say to us, congregation? What does it say to you and me? He's saying, with every fulfilled, completed prophecy, I am the Savior. I am the Savior of sinners. And he longs that you hear it, that you see it, not only self, but that you also see him, that you hear it, and that you believe it, that faith would be worked in him by the hearing of the word of God in him who is the Messiah, who said, I thirst. He knew by all his actions he would accomplish all those fulfillments, and that he is that Messiah that came to fulfill them all. And he's saying, he wants sinners to know who they are, but also to look unto him, as we read in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and none else. Congregation, how did you come to church this morning? May I ask you, how did you come to church this morning? Did you come as we began, thirsty? Were you longing? Longing for a little drop, for a little refreshment for your soul, for your thirsty soul? Do you need a little refreshment for your soul, for this journey that the Lord would visit you, that he would give water, his grace for your soul? Are you seeking salvation? Where are you seeking? Where are you looking? It's only in him who said, I thirst. It's only in him. But what prophecy did he fulfill here? Psalm 69, verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And then we read in our chapter in John 19, verse 29. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, those parched, cracked lips, received a little refreshment. Why? Because there's yet one more prophecy he needs to fulfill. And so he says, as we read in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. That precious Lamb of God thirsted in his body, thirsted in his soul. He thirsted to be able to proclaim, to be able to complain to his Father, finished. He thirsted to be able to proclaim for sinners, for perishing sinners, finished. That they may hear the victory. That victory is in him. Salvation is in him and in him alone. That they may hear and believe. Do you hear it? Poor, perishing, thirsty, guilty sinners. Do you hear the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ? I thirst. And then that thirst was quenched just a little. And then he proclaimed, finished. Are you seeking salvation? Are you working hard trying to find favor with God? And has it become absolutely impossible in yourself? And have you come to that place, Lord, save me? Save me like Peter? No one else can save you. Lord, save me. Or are you still working? Are you still working? Trying to better yourself. Trying to find through yourself a way that God would have favor upon you. All that spirit, what a work he needs to do. He needs to renew us. He needs to make us thirsty for God. And he has to bring it all to death and self. Why? So that we have no rest in anything, but there's only rest in one place. And what is that? By faith in that Savior, Jesus Christ. Open your Bible to Romans 4, and we'll read verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Dear, poor, thirsty, perishing sinner that is hungering for God, do you hear it? It's only by faith in that only precious Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I thirst. We heard a little something of his physical thirst. We heard a little something of his soul thirst. But that expression, I thirst, it's one word in the Greek. And with that word, he is expressing a deep, passionate desire. What? To accomplish salvation. To complete the mission that his Father gave him as the mediator. He said, I thirst. Why? Because he wants to satisfy that immovable, infinite justice of God. Why? Why does he want to fulfill that? Because he knows God's justice, the justice of God, is immovable. And it must be satisfied. It must be satisfied or no sinners could be saved. They will forever remain thirsty. Thirsty eternally. And so with a deep, passionate desire, he's expressing a thirst to fulfill the justice of God. How? By what he's doing. By giving himself on that cross. By being that lamb to sacrifice himself. He thirsted. He desired to complete that mission the Father had laid upon him, and that justice would be satisfied. Because he knows that those whom his Father had given him, those poor, needy, wretched sinners, can never be saved with their own work. It's all filthy, all polluted. He knows they need his work, his sacrifice. Paul wrote in Romans 3, verse 26, to declare, I say it this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier which believeth in Jesus. Jesus thirsts. He says, I thirst. He's passionately expressing his desire to feel the love and the favor of God again. He humbled himself so deeply, but he's longing. He's longing for his Father's favor, his longing that he knows that his sacrifice is also satisfying to his Father. He lacked communion, the feeling of communion, and he longs it to feel it again. Do you know this? Do you thirst for God? Do you long for communion with God? Do you miss his favor? In his favor is life. You need him. Why else did he thirst? What was his expression of his deep desire? To conquer death, hell, and Satan. We read this in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He thirsted. He longed to conquer that enemy. Why? Through that was the way for his dear people, wretched sinners, to be delivered from his power, from forever being cast out. He thirsts, why? To glorify his Father. Remember his prayer, John 17? The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thy Father. He has a desire to glorify his Father, to save his people, to accomplish the work that was laid upon him, to be that sacrifice, to take away the curse that lays upon his people. When man rebelled, reverently speaking, then those attributes of God, justice and righteousness said they must pay, but mercy said, but what of mercy? Humanly and reverently speaking, then we hear those attributes. What of justice? Punish them, but what of mercy? But in Christ, in him, his life, but especially upon the cross, all the attributes of God are glorified and are brought in complete harmony. We read in Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So through the obedience and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the attributes of God are all in harmony. And through them all be in harmony, through his justice satisfied, grace can flow. Water can flow. Grace can flow to unworthy sinners. Jesus Christ thirsted to seal the promises of an eternal covenant of grace with his blood. The good shepherd thirsted. He thirsted also for sheep, for the glorification. We heard that a few weeks ago in John 17 in his prayer. So his thirst was not only a physical thirst, not only a soul thirst, but a thirst to accomplish who he is as that mediator, as that substitute for a people who have nothing. By our sin, those arms of the Father were closed, and they would forever remain closed. They could not receive one sinner. But through him who said, I thirst, through his death, those arms are open, and he can receive wretched, hell-worthy sinners. As how? Servants? No, he receives them as sons. Oh, what amazing grace. What precious words. I thirst. Oh, may it become thirst. Become a blessing for your soul. Jesus Christ, that good shepherd for the sheep, said, I thirst. May I ask you, you heard a little something that he said, I thirst. You heard a little something of who he is, of what he did, of what's expressed in those precious words as that Savior. And may I ask you, did you listen? Did you hear? Did it enter your ear? Did it lighten your mind? Did it touch your heart? Is there a longing now in your soul? Is there a longing for him? Does your heart go out to him? Is your soul become thirsty for him who's that well of water? That through his wounds there's waters, water of grace to comfort perishing souls? He said, I thirst. But also there's a people who also echo in a different way, yet I thirst. As we read in Psalm 84 verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, my even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Is that you at the end of this thought? Listening to who he is for a wretched sinner. Have you become thirsty for the first time? Or has your heart again become thirsty? Let's sing Psalter 225, stanzas 1 and 3. 225, stanzas 1 and 3. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. My spirit longs, yea, even faints, thy sacred courts to see. My thirsting heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. 225, stanzas 1 and 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. We see that prophecy was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But who are you? Who am I? And so we come to that second thought, the sinner's thirst by grace. Are you one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd? There's goats and there's sheep. And we're all thirsty. We all, by nature, have a natural thirst. Goats, those animals thirst, and sheep thirst. But who are the sheep of the Good Shepherd? Who are those ones he cried, I thirst, with those cracked, parched lips, with a deep torment in his body, in his soul? Who are they? Is that your question? Am I one of his sheep, or am I still a goat? Is that your question? In your heart and in your soul, you hear about that Savior. But do I belong to him? It's beautiful, it's precious to hear about him. But am I one of his? Do I belong to him? His sheep have a new, distinct thirst. What is it? Why is it new? Well, in Adam in paradise, they had sweet communion with the Lord. They never suffered by thirst physically. They never suffered with a thirst spiritually. There is sweet communion. But we are not born as Adam and Eve before the fall in paradise. We're born. How? Well, because of the rebellion against God, we're born dead in sins and trespasses. Open your Bible to Jeremiah 3, 2 verse 13. Jeremiah 2 verse 13. You and I by nature thirst for everything but for God. And here we read of two evils. And that's you and me. Listen, Jeremiah 2 verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Do you hear the pain in that? That's you and me. We left the fountain of all living waters. And what do? And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. This is you and me by nature. We need regeneration. We need a new, distinct thirst. We need a thirst worked by God's grace in our hearts and our souls. We left the overflowing fountain of all good. And we only try to fill our hearts because we're still thirsty. But we try to fill it with everything but God. Everything but that Savior. We thirst, but not for God. Goats thirst, but not for God. Not for that Savior. But sheep, they have a new, distinct thirst. By nature, we are like the prodigal son, trying to fill our life following the pleasures and the lusts of our flesh, very worldly. But we also can be a nice church member, a Pharisee, and we try to quiet our conscience. We try to build upon our self-righteousness. Or we thirst for God, for his blessings. For all kinds of blessings, but not for the giver. Only for the gifts. Or we thirst maybe also for a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, but only to help us in this life, but not to bring us into reconciliation with God. So there may be thirst. By nature, there is thirst. And even by common grace, there may be thirsts. Goats have that. My friend, a goat does not know what Psalm 69 verse 3 is. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. My friend, if you know nothing of this, you are a goat. And by nature, we can be thirsty. We can be thirsty for many things. Even for the blessings, but not for God himself and not for that Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, is this still your condition this morning? Hearing of a thirsting Savior, hearing of the law, hearing of the gospel, but yet dead. No thirst for God, no thirst, no crying, no sighing, no waiting, no longing, no hoping. When will he come? Just death. My friend, I must tell you this morning, then you're lost yet. Completely, absolutely lost. I don't care what you think of yourself or what your foundation is. I need to tell you, you're lost. And if you die this way, you will eternally perish. And you will not receive one drop of water. Like that rich man, oh, you'll long for water to just have a little drop on your tongue to cool your thirst. But never, ever, ever will you even receive one little token of mercy forever under the wrath of God. But God, that very God, who gave you life, that very God who gave you his word, the very God who sent his son and who proclaims his son unto you that there is a savior for wretched sinners. He has that power. He has that almighty power to change your heart so that you become thirsty. And he still calls. He still welcomes. What do we read in Isaiah? In Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. He says, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He still calls. What a wonder. Would you call someone who continually ignores you and continually is just an enemy against you? We would say, enough. It's a proof he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Jesus Christ said, I thirst. And by his grace, by his free and sovereign grace, sinners receive a new distinct thirst. What is it? I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They're longing. They're waiting. Thirsty ones. That begins. And they're thirsty to eternity until they receive that overflowing fountain to live and to drink from that water of him. My friend, do you know of a new thirst? Do you know of a thirst you never had before? Do you know of longing, waiting upon God? Do you flee from sin, all sin, looking to him, longing for him, just a beggar crying, Lord, save me, because I cannot save myself. Do you have a thirst that nothing on this earth can satisfy? Nothing. You can give them all kinds of blessings. Nothing. There's only one that can quench it. And you're crying to him, longing for him, looking to him. A thirst that you open the Bible and you begin to read in such a new way. Oh, where is he? Where is that Savior? When you hear of him, you want him to speak to your soul because you can't trust your own heart. You want to hear his voice. You can trust his voice. What do born again sinners thirst for? What do those recipients of grace thirst for? Immediately go to the Lord's Supper? No. No. They don't dare. That's such a holy place. And they feel so absolutely unclean. But even more. It doesn't enter their mind for that. They feel lost. They feel separate. They need reconciliation with the Holy God. That's where it begins. And then it becomes a wonder if they may learn of a way and learn of that Savior. Then they long to confess his name and his grace for his honor, for his glory. A new thirst that comes out of their heart, out of their depths, as Ruth. She was in Moab. What did she thirst for? What did she say? Thy God, my God. They hear the people of God speak of a precious Savior, of a precious God, and they long. Maybe just sitting in the corner of the room, listening. Longing. Could I belong to that blessed people? Can I belong to that precious Savior? They begin to thirst like David. David in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the heart. This is the core of a sinner taught by God's grace. They begin to thirst for God, and they begin to seek him because they miss him. They confess what we read in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My friend, is this your heart? Do you thirst for God? A new, distinct thirst for him. No, not just for his blessings, but for him. Do you thirst for him? And have you tried? They begin to try. They begin to try to take away what separates. And they work hard. They work hard, trying to pray better, trying to keep the law, trying to have no more sinful thoughts, no more sinful desires, no more sinful affections. They try to get rid of it. They try to clean it up. But what do they experience? It doesn't get better. It just becomes absolutely impossible. Impossible. And they have a thirst. They have a thirst for what? For God. Have you experienced this? Is this your heart? Is this your life? Thirst for God, seeking him, and it becomes impossible. Impossible. And then all your righteousnesses that you had before, what you thought were good, they also just become absolute filthy, unrighteous, all filthy rags. This is the sinner's thirst by grace, their experience. And the Spirit brings them where? Brings them to death. To death itself. Why? I would like to give an explanation of this, of the experience through a Bible story. Children, do you know Agar? She had a son, Ishmael. And Abraham had to send her away. And she took a bottle of water, and she had a little food. And what happened? Journeying, the hot sun, the water was gone. And then her boy, she took him. And we read, she put him under a bush. And she went and sat a ways away because she thought it was all going to end in death. All in death. All came to death. No, we're not spiritualizing the story. We're drawing parallels. In Hagar's life, it came to a place, it's all going to die. And that's also in those hearts of the sinners, taught by grace. It all comes to death itself. And Hagar, she was there, and right in front of her was a well, but she didn't see it. And in the preaching, there's a well. But those sinners, they hear about it, but they don't see it with the eye of faith. They hear it, but they don't really hear it. They need the application of the Holy Spirit. But they come to death itself. Why? So that that only fountain becomes everything. Because by nature we're enemies of that fountain. We won't drink from that fountain. We need to be brought to death, to thirst, and to thirst again. And that all our own waters become absolutely nothing. That everything that we even receive from God doesn't satisfy our hearts, but it's all for one purpose, to lead to that fountain, to that one fountain of life, to that well of fountain, of that overflowing fountain of grace. Who is that? That's that precious Savior. And then the Lord showed Agar that well, and she went and drank. She was refreshed, and she lived. She lived by that water. And those poor, perishing sinners that come to an end in everything. That water, that well of water is revealed. That precious Savior through the preaching, through the word. And then they long to drink from him. Oh, to hear of him in the preaching of the gospel. And oh, to not only hear him, but to see him by that eye of faith. But then, may I come? May I come and drink? May I come and drink from that precious fountain with these dirty lips? No, they don't dare just run to the fountain. They're welcome to come to that fountain. They're welcome. It's open. Nothing hindering from God's side but them. Oh, they tremble. May I? May I have a little sip?
May I come to that fountain to just drink a little? This filthy sinner, this wretched one that has absolutely nothing anymore, just bankrupt. May I come? But then the Lord speaks, for example, he draws them. How? By his voice, by his word, by an invitation. For example, Isaiah 55 verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money." No money means nothing. Nothing. "Come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." So they hear. They hear of him. They hear his invitation. But oh, then it can even come so far. They long to hear the voice of the shepherd to speak directly to them. Oh, that he would speak to me. I hear it invited. But that he would speak to me. That he would draw me to the water. And he speaks. For example, John 7 verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst." Did you hear it? Poor thirsty sinner. He says, if any man, let him come and drink. Oh, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when that goes into the hearts, then they come. They can come. He's called me. He's called me. Any man, I may be included, this wicked sinner. And what happens in the hearts of those sinners? What's the experience? They heard it maybe so many times in the past, but now by the preparation, no, by the renewal of the Holy Spirit and the preparation and the application of the Holy Spirit. What do they experience? Listen, Robert Murray McShane explained it so beautiful. "When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me. I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Sinkinu is all things to me. My terrors all vanish before the sweet name. My guilty fears banish. With boldness I came to drink of the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah Sinkinu is all things to me." There's the heart. That's the heart of grace. Made alive, stripped, brought, drawn, and to drink. Because drinking is believing. And if you're really drunk, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Children, if you drink something, how do you know if you really drink it? Because you tasted it. You can explain what the taste is. If you're really drunk, then you tasted something. You can explain what the taste is. And by drinking, there comes joy. Deep, profound joy. There's joy in those hearts of those wretched sinners when they may really drink of him, of that living water. Isaiah said, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." And Jesus Christ said, "I thirst." He is that well. Through his wounds is the well of salvation for perishing sinners. My friend, is this your heart? Is this your life? Lost. Bankrupt, thirsty, crying, sighing, longing, waiting, looking, hoping. And has it come to a little taste? To a little taste. What a wonder. What a wonder of God's grace that we may even taste a little something upon this earth. A little drop here. A little drop here through the word of God of who he is. For absolute wretched sinners, there's coming a time where there won't be drops. Drops. But river, to be able forever to drink of that river, of him, to be with him. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches. He renews. He stood in their place. I thirst, and they become thirsty. And he takes away all other waters. Why? So that he alone becomes that only fountain of living water. And then to live by him, and to drink by him, day by day. What a lesson. May it be so. And so we'll close with a text. Listen, he still calls. He still invites. What a wonder. Revelation 22 verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou richly bless thy word and care for thy dear sheep, for those little lambs. O wilt thou teach them and lead them and guide them till they come to that fountain of living water, unto thee thyself and who thou art through thy dear Son by the application of the Holy Spirit. And O wilt thou refresh us with thyself, with thy grace, who thou art. O may it have been in this morning a little comfort, a little drop, a little drink of who thou art for unworthy, wretched ones. Lord, remember all those who are yet dead, a goat yet. O, we beg thee that thou would give them life, work in them, and give them that thirst that thou alone gives in the hearts of sinners for thyself and for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can have no rest until they may rest in him, under his wings, drinking from him and his grace. Lord, we thank thee then for this time in thy house in this morning, for thy help. Bless it. Remember the elders who will also teach catechism. Help them. May they receive a blessing, and may they be a blessing. Bring us again together tonight. May there be much prayer. May there be much opening for the glory of thy name and for the comfort of thy dear people, we ask, in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close now in singing from Psalter 421, stanzas 3 and 4. 421, 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears. And what follows? 421, stanzas 3 and 4. your congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.